have turned away. Your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Today your gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. Today our Father calls us, His Holy Spirit waits, His blessed angels gather around the heavenly gates. No question will be asked us how often we have come. Although we oft have wandered, it is our Father's home. Oh, all embracing mercy, oh, ever open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to
the congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
The people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven.
He sees all the children of man.
From where he sits enthroned, he looks out.
On all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all.
And observes all their deeds.
The king is not saved by his great army.
A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a false hope for salvation.
And by its great might, it cannot rescue.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him.
On those whose hope in his steadfast love.
That he may deliver their soul from death.
And keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord.
He is our help and our shield.
For our heart is glad in him.
Because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us.
Even as we hope in you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are
Let us pray. Lord God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, for if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated. Are there any children that would like to come up for a children's message?
If your beloved Son, O God, had not to earth descended, and in our mortal flesh and blood had not sin's power ended, then this poor wretched soul
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Can the congregation may be seated. If you like to follow along, the little sermon notes I have with kind of fill in the blank, you can. It's in the purple insert. As I looked at the Psalm 33, the assigned psalm for this Sunday, which we had for the intro, and also the reading from 1 John chapter 4, and what accords in with Jesus' teaching about Lazarus and the rich man intertwines in these, is you have in Psalm 33 the perfect judge. And you have clearly in 1 John chapter 4 the perfect love. And as Lutherans, we know that the judge is in charge of the law, and love is of the gospel. These two things are important to Christians, to the Christian message, are part of it. And also, as you see things take place in our society and in the world, you may be struck from one incident or series of incidents from one way or another. You may think, this isn't very just. Is that person going to get caught? Is the truth going to come out? Are those people really get to behave like that and nothing happens? You can fill in the blank for what you think that applies to, because it applies to a lot. As Christians, it's really important for us to stay firm and certain of the scriptures, that God is the perfect judge. And one place, there's many places in scriptures that teach this, but one place we see this is in that Psalm 33. And from some of those verses, I have a few thoughts there. The Lord, and if you notice, I have that in L-O-R-D, italicized there in the notes. But the Lord, and in the English, most English translations, it's L-O-R-D, capital, all capital. That is the name of God, not just any God, but the God who is the judge and who knows all things and has all power is the Lord, Yahweh. Not Baal, not a Hindu god, not any other god, but the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That one. He looks down from heaven and sees all the children of men. He sees everything. And that thought I repeat several times over again because it's important for us as Christians to know that God sees all. He observes all their deeds. The things that we think might be going on or is being revealed or not revealed or we suspect is going on, whatever, or we think is going on is not. Whatever, God sees what the truth is. Our God sees. And the powerful ones, the kings, their own power, their own great strength, their own, as the Psalm says, their great army, cannot save them. These are for a purpose. Human governments and human military strength and human wealth, whatever you might point to, are for a purpose in this life, but in the end, they do not save anybody. God is the judge. And the psalmist mentions how God sees into people's lives. And then he also says, yet the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. And in there, in the psalm, he brings in this faith, both as those of you who remember the meaning of the commandments, that we may fear and love God. Both. Because we know he's judge and he's to be respected and there's nothing we can hide from him. He is over all. He sees all. And at the same time, he loves all and he wants to have mercy. So we fear and love him. No one escapes God's notice. Nothing escapes God's notice. So I give some instances there. No injustice, no lie, no bribe, no meanness, no cruelty, can be hidden from the Lord. He knows what is going on. Sometimes we are given responsibilities in a business or in government or in the military or at a church or at any organization. And we have to watch over and know what's going on and correct the things that are not being done right, or sometimes even crimes are done. And it's our responsibility to try to carry that out the best we can. But God is the perfect judge. He really knows what's going on, and finally all answer to Him. As a Christian, this is so important for us to know that God is in control. He knows what's going on. Nobody finally gets away with anything. It does not go scot-free. Jesus, He warned people about their own lives. He wanted people to see not only the shortcomings in others' lives, which people love to do, and we love to do as well. Look how bad that person is. Look how poor that person is doing in his job, whatever it may be. But Jesus points us to think about our own lives. And there's a passage in Mark, and there's Mark 9, and there's parallel passages too, that the warning from Jesus is so strong. These things strike me over and over again whenever I think of them or I read them or they come to mind. I read from Mark 9, starting verse 42. Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Jesus does not want people to go to hell. It's real, and it is the final judgment. And a lot of commentators, in fact, I've never had a commentator that I've read say, this is symbolic. He doesn't really want you to cut off your hands. I'm sorry. I'm not suggesting you cut off a hand or a foot, but He is absolutely serious. It's absolutely serious to go to heaven with one hand than two in hell. He's absolutely serious. He wants people in heaven, not in hell. He wants people to repent. He is the perfect judge. Nothing is hidden from God. And then if we think in our own lives, you mean He knows this and this and this? Yes. And as Christians, He is our perfect judge, and we know and believe that. Then in contrast to that is what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is just. He is the perfect judge. But God is love. He wants people to abide in him. He wants people to have life in him. That's what he really wants. And John said, God's love in us casts fear of punishment out. Now, how can that happen? Because when we see the truth that God is the perfect judge, he knows our hearts and our minds. He knows what we did yesterday and today. He knows what we will do tomorrow. And he knows our inner thinking. He knows why we're doing it. That is scary because we see we don't measure up. We're not perfect. We're not holy. But John says, perfect love casts out fear of punishment. Well, who is that perfect love? It's not me. I know I don't love perfectly. I can't look at myself and be comforted. I cannot, and no person can. We cannot look at ourselves and be comforted that I'm good enough. But what is that perfect love? The perfect love is the one who took our sins, those things that we have done, that anybody has done, and he took them to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And he said on the cross, it is finished. That is the perfect love and sacrifice that I and you look to, so that the fear of our own sins and the fear of the punishment that we deserve is put away. That our focus is on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And as we learn and understand and live in and grow in the knowledge and faith of our Lord's death and resurrection, we see that he is more powerful than what I do. He is the perfect judge, and he's also the perfect love. He's the perfect Savior. When Jesus says it is finished, he is declaring that his love and his death, his suffering and death, his forgiveness is more powerful than any sin. And he really, really wants to forgive all. No matter what has been done, he wants to forgive all. People can refuse Jesus. People can ignore or turn away from Jesus. But he wants to forgive. And he doesn't want anybody in hell. Our sins are not more powerful than his words, it is finished. His words, it is finished, means it's completed, it's perfected, it's done. And our comfort is when we hear those words, think on them, sing about them, pray them, speak them to one another, we realize that even the worst that I've done, he's paid for. So faith focuses on him. When we are a Christian, our eyes follow Christ and what he's done. And we know what he's done is more than anything I do, whether good or bad. My good is halfway good, a third way good, 7/8 good, whatever you might say. And my bad is bad. But he is holy and perfect, and he has saved me. What I depend upon, what casts out the fear of punishment, is Jesus. We cannot, nor anybody can, run away or hide from God's judgment. All things, in the end, will be known and will be weighed out. And yet, God does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants all to believe and repent and believe in Jesus. As Christians, this is the two things. He is the perfect judge. His standards, his holiness, his way of looking at all things that have been created, that is the holy thing. Yet we all fall short. But my eyes are not on my sins, on my falling short. That will never bring me any comfort. What brings me comfort is to look at Jesus, to hear him say, "You are forgiven. It is finished. You are judge, Heavenly Father. You are in all things, above all things. Nothing is hidden from you." And at the same time, in your Savior, you have loved me and forgiven me all things. Those two things. The devil wants us to forget those two things. The devil wants us to be overcome by whatever is going on around us, to forget those two things. But God says, "I am judge, I am Savior, completely and absolutely." So Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." We pray to him. We come to him. He knows everything that's going on. He forgives. He gives us strength to go each day to know him truly. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you reveal and give faith to us to know that you are the perfect judge and that your love for us is perfect and whole and complete and even takes away our sins. Give us a strong faith and confidence in us. Cast out the fear that we might have of punishment, but rather to rejoice in the forgiveness and love of Jesus, that you have given us in Jesus Christ. Help us to share this with many others. You don't want anybody to go to hell, but you want all to come to faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Give us patience. Give us repentance. Give us faith in Christ. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let me say a couple things that are going to happen. We're going to stand and say the Nicene Creed. It's printed on page 158, or you can just open up the back cover of the hymnal and it's printed there. After that, the congregation is seated after the Nicene Creed, and one of the ushers would bring forward the two top plates that have offerings in. I'll have a short offering prayer at that time. The congregation can remain seated at that time. And then we have the blessing of the pyramids, which that order is on the purple sheet, and also the blessings for the mission trip. That order is also here. We start with the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets,
And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The offering is brought forwards. We thank you, O God, for the resources that you give us every day of our lives. We ask you to receive these gifts and offerings, multiply them for the good of your people, for the power of and coming of your kingdom and to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue with the orders of blessing of parents and the blessing for the mission trip. In both these, the congregation has a little bit of speaking parts, so open up. First, the blessing for altar, pulpit, lectern, parements, and also stole. I should have said that as well. There's a stole that a pastor wears here as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. It is therefore fitting that we implore the Lord's blessing as we decorate the altar of his sanctuary from which he strengthens and preserves us in the true faith. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, you instructed Moses your servant to make hangings and fine linens for use in your tabernacle. We implore you to sanctify these parements for the adornment of your church through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless these altar, pulpit, and lectern pyramids and stole.
Amen.
At this time, would Taylor please come forward? Taylor Freidig, sister in Christ, you stand before this Christian congregation ready to embark on as Christ's servant. Before you go to serve with the mission organization helping Appalachian rural people based in Caldwell, Ohio, hear the word of the Lord concerning service in his name. Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." And the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And to the Christians at Rome, Paul explains, "Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord." Do you wish to serve so that others may see Christ's love through you?
Yes, I go to serve as Christ served us and gave his life for all.
Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, be faithful in your calling and loving toward those called to serve with you and to all people?
Yes, I go serve in love for God, for my fellow workers, and for my neighbor.
Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. For Christ is the real master you serve. He will bear you up on his wings and guide you on your way. He will be with you. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for Taylor, who is willing to go and work with the HARP Mission Organization. We ask you to give her safe travels, strength, fruitful labors, and joy in all her activities and conversations. May your kingdom grow. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Go in the strength, protection, and wisdom of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
congregation is invited to stand as we continue with the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church, as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations, that they would know Christ, the offspring promised to Abraham, in whom they are blessed and counted righteous, and that our loving Father would work in them the love that flows from his love alone, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all ministers of Christ's church, that they may proclaim diligently the faith once delivered to the saints, for all vacant congregations and all pastors considering calls, and that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest and sustain those he has sent, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, medicine, education, agriculture, military, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and valued service through their vocations. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in need, the poor, the hungry, and those without homes or proper employment, that our shield and defender would provide for them and give hope in the face of their trials, and that he would stir up in us fervent love for one another to bring care to those around us as we have received perfect charity in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in authority, President Biden, Congress, U.S. Supreme Court, Governor DeWine, state legislatures, and all local officials, that they would serve with integrity, always for the benefit for those under their leadership, to the maintenance of righteousness and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the suffering and sorrowing and all who call upon Christ's saving name, we remember Margaret and Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bill, Jason, Sue, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, David, Don, Denny, Ruby, Darlene, Jeff, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shirey, Pastor Berlin, and comfort for the family of Barb Poston. That the Holy Spirit would teach us to pray, that our hearts would not be undone by anxiety and fear, but rejoice in God's grace, sufficient for our every need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful, that we would not come to the altar seeking sumptuous earthly food, but discern Christ's holy body and precious blood for the forgiveness of sins, and receive it in the unity of the true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray, Lord God, Heavenly Father,
we implore you to rule and govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not, like the rich man, hear your word in vain and become so devoted to things temporal that we forget things eternal, but that we may serve those who are in need readily and according to our ability, not defiling ourselves with carousing or pride. In trial and misfortune, keep us from despair, and let us trust in your fatherly help and grace, that in faith and Christian patience we may overcome all things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us on the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Post-communion dismissal.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia.
May this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
To thee, for then shall we walk in thy steps forever.
And hasten on where thou art gone,
to be with thee, dear Savior. Draw us to thee, Lord, lovingly. Let us depart with gladness, that we may be forever free from sorrow, grief, and sadness. Draw us to thee, O grant that we may walk the road to Sure.